This has been great. Jacoby's here. I haven't seen Jacoby. When was the last time I saw you in person? I think I saw you in New York like maybe 2 months ago, but we were on the street outside of the lovely studio behind you. I'm Clinton. That's Harry. That's David. Wait, wrong way. Oh, that's Jacoby. No. Got it right. Oh, there's a boat passing you behind. Hi, look. Oh, you can't see that boat.
There'll anyway, be a lot of that.
Three of us have done this together, and I am very excited about this for two reasons. Number one, David tells us that he's really, really been on his Rand McNally Encyclopedia Britannica research game recently, so we can't wait to get into that. Most importantly, we have one young Harold Lyles Jr. from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because the last week in Atlanta has been fascinating. So, welcome
that's
to
a word. That's a word for it.
Alabaster, let's get to the first topic. Miami.
Right. We're going to get started with the quarterback carousel and how it is affecting the Falcons and the Colts. And our question, after a day of digesting it, what do you make of the Matt Ryan trade?
Harry, you are in Atlanta. You are from Atlanta. The whole floor is yours.
Well, I just – this feels like rock bottom. It really does. And like – I understand, right? Everybody's line is, well, it's a business. You move on from guys, things of that nature. But to me, for Matt Ryan, a guy who came in when he did, right? Came in after Michael Vick, came in after Bobby Petrino and everything that happened there. And this is genuinely the first guy in franchise history that you could say gave them reasonable expectations, right? Like the Falcons just never really had that at any point. And for you to treat this person and basically you didn't really have a replacement plan. Everybody thought that was going to happen last year. They ended up drafting Kyle Pitts. But to all of a sudden just push all of your chips to the front of the table and then it doesn't work out for you. And, you know, you've got these reports of them pushing the roster bonus back a few days because they were so adamant on making this happen for somebody in Deshaun Watson who still has 22 civil cases that are still active just felt awful, honestly. And yes, it is a business, but I think that ultimately there still has to be a measure of humanity and having relationships and maintaining those and things of that nature. And to send him out the way that they did, you know, people here have many, many feelings about the Freddie Freeman stuff. This was awful. And for me, it's just like, I feel like I need to step back from my Falcons fandom for a minute because this is just too much for me.
Yeah.
That was basically just how I feel about it.
Jacoby, from the outside, I mean, I think a lot of us looked at this like, really, Falcons? Y'all are going that hard on Deshaun Watson? Your man's is right there looking at this. And it's not like he can't see what's going on. Y'all didn't have no exit plan anyway. I hope this works out. It has not worked out, Jacoby. What was your reaction?
Well, one of the first things that stood out to me was, wait a second. This is going to be a $40 million cap hit. In addition to you're getting a third rounder this year, like, what did he do to you? Like, what about Matt Ryan's performance made you want him out of the building so bad that you're willing to take a $40 million cap hit? And Alabaster, put the stats back up about the pass block. You know what? Let me show you something. You know who else had a very similar terrible offensive line? A guy by the name of Joe Burrow, and they went to the Super Bowl. I think Joe Burrow's might have been worse than that in terms of pass block win rate. So it's really curious to me that, yes, you have to move on, but I would like to know what was wrong with keeping Matt Ryan there. Because there are some very staunch Matt Ryan supporters that say, look, this isn't the problem. The team is the problem. The pass protection is the problem. He's without Julio Jones. Now he's without Ridley for inexplicable reasons. They've got their running back play. They've got their other sort of like wide receiver threat playing running back. So all of that is really interesting to me. And also, Marcus Mariota's the plan. And if you're Harry, you're like, wait a second. So we don't have Matt Ryan, but we're bringing in Marcus Mariota, who a lot of people have brought in to be a backup and barely saw the field. And in addition to all of that, I see the Colts looking at the Rams being like, okay, quarterback going to the Hall of Fame, putting up big numbers for losing teams, made it to the Super Bowl once. Matt Stafford never did that. Maybe we could bring him in and do the all-in things the Rams did and sort of be the AFC version of that.
You know, that's a good point. But I think what you said about the, like, really, this is the option thing, that's, Harry, what I want to ask you about next, is because I think we sort of – listen, Arthur Blank sort of revealed something about himself in terms of, like, were you really just – this was your exit strategy for Matt Ryan? This could have been done so many different ways. And to disrespect a player like that on the way out, I think it spoke as much about the franchise as far as like what you said. Am I really even want to be involved in this? Never mind the results on the field, if that's how y'all are treating people.
Yeah, I really don't think that they thought this that far through, because I think they thought they were going to get him. I really do. I believe that they thought that they were going to get him. And it just so happens that they can now look at somebody like Marcus Mariota and be like, oh, well, look, he has ties to Arthur Smith because of their time in Tennessee. Like, it worked out for him. And so for them, that's good enough. I really don't think that we should be giving the Falcons that much credit to say, oh, they truly like thought this out in case it wasn't going to work. Because the other big piece of this is the teams that were involved only got involved because either one, because they truly thought they were going to get it done, and two, they would be able to survive the PR battle. I don't think if you told the Falcons you're not going to get Deshaun Watson if you go into this, that they would have done what they just did. I don't think they would have done it.
Oh, you got you, Jacoby, you got the Colts as a serious chance for Super Bowl contenders or not? They had a pretty good defense, and they fell apart last year. And the running
game. Well, serious chances is a tricky way to sort of hedge that. Like, I would say they're one of the five best teams in the AFC. I'd say they're not one of the three best teams in the AFC. However, if sometimes you have to be honest when you talk about your takes. If you were to ask me this a year ago about the Bengals, I'd be like, Bengals Super Bowl? Like, what are you talking about? So who knows what is actually going to happen on the field? But they do have a great defense, above average defense, not great, above average defense. They've got one of the two, you could say, Derrick Henry or Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in football. And now they've got Matt Ryan, who, like Matt Stafford, is just a very capable pocket passer who's got a lot of experience reading defenses and calling audibles and sort of being a coach on the field. So there is a recipe for success. They're much better off next year with Matt Ryan than they were last year with Carson Wentz. And even Carson Wentz, as disastrous as he was in that Week 18 game, he did put them in a position to win a lot of games.
He only missed three games the Falcons, Matt Ryan did. That's the stat Alabaster just put up.
Wow.
Harry, is there any part of you that roots for Matt Ryan in this situation just because that's the homie who took y'all to everything and, like, ultimately you're a fan of him?
100%. I mean, like, Matt Ryan is a bigger person than me because if the Falcons would have done me like that, I would have been all over Twitter and Instagram and be like, yo, throwing all kinds of middle fingers and things like that. Because, bro, that's so wild to me. The things that, like, again, when he came in to this city and the things that he's done, obviously, like, you know, he's not the greatest quarterback on the planet, but he's clearly been good enough, right, to where you can win a Super Bowl with that guy. Like, they almost did it. I think we all know that, right? But, to me, like, I think that people in Atlanta, you know, even if you have critiques of his game, he's not a person that you've ever rooted against, you know? Like, that's somebody that you could get behind, so... No, it'd be cool to see the Colts win the Super Bowl if you're a Falcons fan, because the Falcons certainly aren't going to win it this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing for me, Jacoby. This is like, I know this sounds crazy to say, but like for all of the things we see NFL teams do and all of the ways that they treat players, I thought this was unbecoming. Like, I legitimately did not think that a guy of Matt Ryan's character and respect was going to get treated like that by a franchise that is known for getting in bed with certainly the wrong characters sometimes in terms of how they operate. I'm legitimately surprised. If I was a big-time Matt Ryan fan, I would be crestfallen. All these people up in Boston College who follow him and so on and so forth. This is ugly, bro, and it didn't have to be. That's the whole thing.
It is a bad breakup. And just to play devil's advocate here, we don't really know what happened behind the scenes. Perhaps Matt Ryan felt disrespected by their pursuit of Deshaun Watson and said, listen, I'm not coming back to your facility again. You know, so maybe the disrespect wasn't necessarily the trade. Maybe it was the, oh, you're trying to replace me? Well, guess what? By trying to replace me, you now have to replace me. Good luck with Marcus Mariota. I'll be handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor on first and second and maybe throwing it on third down if it doesn't work. So who knows what happened behind the scenes. But one thing I find really interesting is those two stats that Alabaster showed us. So they have got a terrible offensive line, but he's only missed three games. That tells me that you can count on Matt Ryan being under center. Yeah. And it's interesting to hear Harry talk about this sort of like inside the head of a Falcons fan, because to be a lifelong football fan of a franchise, especially in that region of the country, do you know how much they have to violate your trust to consider breaking up that bond?
Yes, especially the Falcons, given like there are a trillion reasons to just never like do this to yourself. Like, why would you actively follow a team that has given you every reason to not do so? And for me, it's just like, all right, yo, if nothing else, I need a breather from that team, because that's too much for me.
Break, baby. For those of you who don't know, Ryan leaves the Falcons as the franchise leader. Put that back up, Alabaster. I'm trying to tell the podcast audience real quickly. The franchise leader in wins, passing yards, passing TDs, completions, attempts, and of course, interceptions. And that's what comes when you throw a lot of passes. Any final thoughts, Harry, before this bad breakup ends poorly?
Yeah. I just thought Matt Ryan was going to get Chipper Jones treatment, right? Like, you can't touch this guy. I really did think that he was going to get that love from that franchise, and, you know, it just didn't happen for him. And I think it's unfortunate.
He doesn't want to tell you that he took his Falcons mini helmet down off the wall. That's kind of the big news of the day.
Yeah, it's on the floor.
What's up, Alabaster?
One piece of cleanup that I found a bit comical in this. Everyone has talked about reuniting Arthur Smith and Marcus Mariota. He was actually the offensive coordinator who benched Mariota for milquetoast Ryan Tannehill in 2019. So we'll see how that works out. Second point, Clinton, I actually wonder, you know, God, I'm going to expose my bias here. As a Washingtonian, and Clinton, as a fellow Washingtonian, how did you feel looking at the bottom line, rolling your eyes, when you saw that it only took one third round pick to get Matt Ryan, a future Hall of Famer, and it took 2 third round picks to get Carson Wentz, who's only a Hall of Famer in Dan Orlovsky's eyes?
Reminder, I stopped caring about that team a decade ago. There's a reason why when I wrote for the Washington Post, I named it Ashburnistan. All right. The greed and avarice of small men ruined a once great nation. They don't know how to do anything. Why would I expect for the Commanders, of all people? They can't even get a name rollout right without some guy in a helicopter scooping them at their own stadium. You think I think that they could actually get their football team together correctly to gauge interest in what should be done? No. Oh. The biggest clown franchise in sports with the biggest idiot owner there is. Like, I mean, of course they overpaid. Of course it was idiotic. And of course it's going to work out poorly. That's what they do.
Matt Ryan actually has a clause in his contract there. He's not allowed to be traded to any team that pours sewage on their own fans in the stadium. It's deep, deep, deep in the contract. Fine print. You know, you really got to search for it. But it's a really forward thinking by his agent to have that written in.
The last thing that I define as a part of me being a Washingtonian is that craptastic football team. Come on now.
Yeah.
Totally fair. And to your point, Jacoby, it's not just sewage that has fallen on fans. The actual stadium has also almost fallen fair. On players. Fair. So
there's that.
You know, there's when it comes to Washington football, there is no bottom. So, Harry, it could be worse. All right. We'll move
it
on.
It could be worse.
What's next?
To the golf double world. Entendres.
And our question is, how big of a deal is it that Phil Mickelson is going to miss the Masters?
All right. This is your account, Jacoby, for various reasons that have to do with a lot more things than just research. What have you found, and what do you think in terms of what's going on in Augusta?
So I saw this topic is going to be part of the show. We haven't covered this one very much on my other platforms, namely Jalen Jacoby. So, you know, I said, I respect this program, Debatable. I'm not going to mail this one in. I'm going to read the 2,000-3,000-word articles about this. And basically, here's what I distilled it all down to. Phil Mickelson had a really good meeting with a group of Saudis that were like, guys, you know what we can do? We can start our own thing. Don't worry about the PGA. We'll make the players will be involved. And you know what, Phil? You can design the league and figure out the courses and figure everything out. And Phil left that meeting being like, God, this is the new me. This is going to be perfect. And you know what? The PGA is greedy, and I don't like those guys. We've all left meetings with that, like, impression that you kind of have to distance yourself 24 hours from before you sort of, like, realize how you really feel about it. Phil didn't distance himself enough, called the PGA greedy, said all kinds of other things, and then turns out no one wants to come with Phil. It was just like he's leading the mutiny on the pirate ship. He said when he raises his sword and runs at the captain's quarters, there is no one else behind him. The mutiny fails, and then he becomes the laughingstock, and now he has to put his tail between his legs and kind of walk back to the PGA and ask for their forgiveness. However, he is still sleeping on the couch, and part of sleeping on the couch is not going to Augusta and playing in the Masters.
Harold, your thoughts on this matter? You did well. So, that was very educational for those of us that was did great. Not know. I appreciate that, legitimately.
So we, like, the PGA does not disclose suspensions, right? So it is possible that he has been suspended by the tour. I think regardless of whether he was or not, it's probably a good idea. Like, bro, that you said some wild stuff, like wild problematic stuff. And to me, like, there should be some measure of like, hey, you need to kind of take time away from this. And at some point or another, show us like, hey, you know that what you said was wrong and why you said was wrong and things like that, because he spent a little bit too much time for my liking, being like, hey, like, that was supposed to be off the record, da 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 da. And it's like, hey, bro, it doesn't matter. We saw it. Like, it's too late for all that. And to me, like, I think the harm in him not being there is for, like, the casual golf follower like myself. Like, that's one less name that you know. I think there's still enough to where it's like, all right, it's going to be a story, like, on the broadcast, but it's not going to own it. But to me, this is probably a good move for him because, again, like, he says some really messed up things. And I think that taking some time away to just get your act together is probably the best thing for you at this point.
I would agree. And I think, Jacoby, the best part about what you said is that you're right. That mindset of, I'm going to show them, I'm going to tell them, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. That's one thing. But not when you're dealing with international matters. And this is a situation in which Phil exposed himself as simply not having the worldview. You ain't got the range, Phil, you know what I'm saying, to really understand what's going on here. Never mind whether or not it was off the record or on the record. Never mind what your apology says. You should not have done this, most likely, in terms of what you think your reputation is as a human being, never mind as an American. That's the issue here. I don't think he even understood what was wrong until he was well beyond the point of no return. And that's where the PGA had to be like, bro, there's a reason why cats aren't out here doing this. You know what I'm saying? But because you think you're Phil Mickelson, picking up balls that are still rolling, acting like you can do whatever you want on the course, pissing off other members on the PGA Tour who are your tour mates, people are like, how about you just sit down? I don't think it takes much to understand that he just doesn't need to be there. Whether or not it's because he's not going to be able to answer questions about it, whether or not it's because other people on the tour are going to be getting after him, or whether or not it's because fans at Augusta might actually show him a little bit too much love for the PGA Tour to be comfortable with, he doesn't belong there. But it comes down to the fact that he just, you know, what do they say on Twitter, Harry? You want Jordans or you want passports, which is a stupid right. analogy. But like, Phil is the guy buying all the Jordans and ain't never seen no passport in this particular situation, because anyone who knows anything about that part of the world in terms of the history of our involvement as well as a nation would tell you, bad idea, fam. Certainly a bad idea if you're going to be talking about it and acting like it's something to do when you're the one acknowledging the atrocities that go on a regular basis that we all have to deal with. Everybody knows this, except the people who don't. Phil Mickelson is one of the people who don't.
Yeah, and his way of sort of recognizing the atrocities that happened in that particular country, he said there's some scary MFers. It's like, Phil, that doesn't exactly encapsulate the centuries
right.
of mistreatment there. But one thing I found really interesting was this. We've seen this so much in sports, is athlete messes up, and then athlete messes up the apology. Sometimes it baffles me. I'm like, did you have anyone read this? Did your wife read this? You had a PR person write this for you, and this is what they came up with? In his apology, he's like, first things first, not my fault. Shouldn't have been printed. I was violated. This is all my problem. You know what I mean? It's right. like, he's just like, I was just playing around. And really what I was trying to do was just make golf better. It's just like, Phil, I know this is your apology, but like, you really need to just really, really sometimes just sit down and put your head down and just say, I was wrong, and put a period on that, and that's it. Because you were so, so wrong. And that's why you're on timeout. He's like one of my kids. He's on timeout right now. He said something wrong. He's going to need some time to sit in his room for a while. Door's closed. You can't come out. And eventually he's going to come out and say sorry, and he'll be back at the Masters next year. We all know it.
Jacoby, yeah. You need your crisis PR firm for white guys who are in trouble, you know what I'm saying, playing non-team sports. Where is the rollout? We need this for America. That'd be great.
I'm working on something. There's a non-compete in my contract right now, but, you know, we're working it out.
What's up?
You guys were excellent on that story. And
but I hear a buck coming.
No. I just want to say the way that people found out Phil Mickelson wouldn't be there was because his name appeared on a list on the Masters website of past champions not playing. But here's your but. Do you know who wasn't on that list?
Eldrick is still
please.
On the list.
Tiger
He's
Woods.
Pull out late. Okay. Oh,
still might play.
Crazy over this. Leave him alone. Let that man raise his family.
He wasn't on
My
the list.
Goodness.
That's
he
a
does
fact.
That every year, by the by. But people who don't follow that don't know that. But yes, there was definitely that part. Harry, where are you on needing Tiger to play in this tournament?
I mean, you know, if he does, he does. If he doesn't, look, my thing is with the Masters, I don't really care who plays because it's just cool to look at, man. It's like the Rose Bowl. Like, I'm just there for all the scenery.
Yeah.
Quick question, gentlemen. I know you're from Georgia, and everyone who's gone to the Masters is like, it's the most amazing sporting event. I've never been to anything like it. And I'm like, wait a second. You want me to, like, walk around a golf course while not playing golf for, like, 10 hours while drinking like whiskey in the sun, like for 4 days in a row. Like that sounds like torture. That sounds like running a marathon, but like a sports watching drinking marathon. And say, oh, guess what? You can have an ungrilled cheese sandwich from time to time. Like, well, what? That's a local delicacy? Like a cheese sandwich on bread?
Making a lot of friends here, Jacoby.
Yeah, no, I've never been there. That's why I'm asking this. I'm asking you guys, perhaps you've been there, Harry, right. But I'm asking you too. Yeah. Does the Masters seem like something you want to attend? It does not sound like it doesn't sound like you live up to the expectations that people have pitched me. That's all I'm saying. Don't tweet at me.
So I'm glad you've asked this question, and I would like to correct you because there are two things here. There is Georgia and there is Atlanta. Those are very separate things. I am from Atlanta. Georgia is basically like Mississippi, but when you put Atlanta in there, then it becomes Georgia, right? So to me, I've been to the practice round of Augusta once before, and that's because a friend from high school had invited me, and I went, and it looked cool and stuff like that. Would I do it again? Probably not, to be honest with you. Like, it looks cool. It's something I've experienced, but like, to your point, like all of the pimento cheese sandwich stuff, like, cool, I guess. Like, this is just not for me. It's just not for me. And they sometimes, I mean, for those who don't know, biracial area right here, you know, sometimes they've indicated in the past that it might not be for us. So
what?
I'm just saying.
The Masters? What?
Yeah, listen, this is a situation where, unlike, or rather, like many a thing in the South, I would go under the conditions that I was treated like the most royal of VIPs. And got all of the top shelf everything and never had to lift a finger and got the best sight lines for everything. Then, maybe then, I would consider showing up. Or if I was getting paid to be there, which is not the case. I've never covered the Masters. So those are the conditions. Augusta National, roll out the red carpet for your boy. And I'm bringing Harry, too. How about that?
I'm not saying that it can't be fun. All I'm saying is when people tell me how much fun it is, I just don't see it. Walking around a golf course while playing is a little tiring in its own right and frustrating. I can imagine not even playing, shuffling around from place to place like a herd of migrating animals. You know what I mean? Like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And also they're like, no. We also, you can have like 3 cheese sandwiches a day, like grilled cheese. Nah, dog, not even grilled.
And the cheese.
Bread,
you can't get
a little
out
bit of cheese. Yep. We're good.
Your calculations are correct.
If there was a Top Golf at Augusta, I'd go to that. Just
I've never been to Topgolf. I can't wait to Topgolf. I cannot wait.
Topgolf is fun, bro.
Topgolf is fun.
Look forward to it.
Topgolf is fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Top what's Golf's next?
Fun. All right, guys. We are going to move on to a single What Are the Chances, and we're going out to the NBA.
All right.
We got a video for you on this one. What are the chances LeBron really hates that Kevin Love was on the receiving end of this dunk? Let's take a look. Austin Reeves is there to get the fresh 14 for the Lakers. LeBron!
Oh my lord.
In fact, somebody just spilled a beer all over us. Where did it come from?
What an aside. He's like, more importantly,
somebody just spilled beer all over us.
That was hilarious. I hadn't heard that in that highlight yet. LeBron on the dunk, he said, to be completely honest, I hate that it had to be him. That's my guy. That's my brother. I mean, the word hate there is used in a colloquial context. That was the funniest moment I've seen in the NBA between two old guys in a really, really long time. Kevin Love came back and gave her the, I don't care what you just did. I'm putting you in a headlock, little brother type of a vibe. And that was really, really funny. I loved it. Jacoby, you've been watching these guys and following these guys for years. What'd you think of that?
A couple things. I love the old guy interaction between Rondo and Chris Paul that led to that incident in the Rockets and Clippers. I also love that you called little LeBron James, the little brother, and if you look at their time together,
I said
in Cleveland,
energy
that is clearly
in terms
not the
of what
case.
He was doing.
Clearly not the case based on their interactions in Cleveland. And I will also say this, that the percentage chance that he hated that this was Kevin Love is probably 90, and I'll tell you why. I think that this wasn't even a dunk on Kevin Love. Kevin Love was merely a bystander who decided to take a charge and then kind of bailed out at the last second. If he doesn't fall over, it's not a thing. It's good for the cameras, but Kevin Love doesn't jump. Barely tries to take a charge, barely tries to contest. I think LeBron James wants Kevin Love to jump so he can dunk on him. This is not even like a top 15 LeBron James dunk on somebody. So I will say that he only regrets that Kevin Love didn't try harder at defense so he could truly dunk on him and then act like he hated it after the game. Because you know he loved every second of it.
Yeah, see, like for me, I think that LeBron absolutely loved it. So I'll give it like a 1% chance, because here's the thing. More than anything, LeBron loves it when he has a moment. You know, like when LeBron does something, whether he passes somebody on score and lists this list, whatever, that he loves these moments where, you know, on your Instagram story, it shows the little bars at the top. You know, when you get them looking like ants, it's just a bunch of little dots. This was one of those moments for LeBron. And so the fact that he was able to do this on Kevin Love, whether or not he wanted it to be him or not, it was going to be a bigger deal for everybody else. And because of that, LeBron absolutely loved this. And also, like, you could see in that vertical here, like, he got an extra, like, jump there. Like, he kept just going. It was almost like he saw that window and was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm absolutely taking this, and I'm going to absolutely live in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, he's at year – what is the year, Jacoby?
He's 37 18? Years old. I was going to say 22 in the league. I might be wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
Okay, whatever he's at, year near 20. The fact that he's still doing that, year 19, is still – amazing to me. And go back to how Kevin Young is 4 years younger. That's why I was pointing that out, is because, like, it was even weirder because, like, Kevin Young has always seemed kind of like older than LeBron, just because, like, Kevin Love always kind of had that, like, old guy vibe. And so when he did that, I was like, oh, it was more personality than I'd seen out of Kevin in a really long time. And it was cool for that to be able to happen. Never mind it being in Cleveland, where he got so much love at the All-Star break as well. I really enjoyed that. So I'm going to say 0% chance. That was just a euphemism, but overall, great moment for the NBA.
I also love how LeBron said that he's the happiest he's ever been after this. I'm like, dog, I saw you in a parade in Cleveland. Like, I saw you have a back-to-back championships in the Heat. I saw you holding up the Larry O'Brien trophy in the bubble in a Lakers uniform while confetti falls. Like, this is not the happiest I've ever been when you're trying to hold on to the 10 spot to get the opportunity to win two games to maybe be the 8 seed that loses in the first round of the Suns. Like, this is not the happiest he's ever been, but he's loving the scoring title race.
Hold on, Jacoby. That's what I'm saying. You might be making – just proving your own point, which is this. How many times has LeBron James been to the finals in his career? How many times has he not?
I want to say 11.
Like 11?
More than not. LeBron James is living in L.A., getting his flowers, not worried about what's happening in the postseason, how he's going to have to manage the legs and the expectations and all this other nonsense. He's just having fun horsing around with his rascal friends on the court, man. I completely understand the world in which he's happier, because this is not the same business mind that he's had towards basketball, and he's still able to do it at a high rate. That's where I think this actually makes some sense. Of course, they're not going to have the same expectations on the end of the season because the team sucks. But for LeBron himself, I completely understand what it feels like to be like, oh, man, I'm going to have a summer, and I'm going to have some accolades. You know,
Alabaster, before you interject, I want to just support Clinton here and say, and he's got the additional aspect of the criticism lightning rod that is Russell Westbrook. Like, it's just like, problem's right here, guys. Probably it ain't here.
Not me.
He is the criticism lightning rod. It's just like, there is no criticism lightning that will strike LeBron James, because much higher than him is the metal pole that is Russell Westbrook's broken jump shot. So you can point to the front office, you can point to Russell Westbrook, but I'm scoring championship. It ain't me. So don't blame me, Laker fans and NBA fans. Go ahead, Alabaster. Sorry.
Jacoby. This is the point I was going to make, but I think I can add on to it. LeBron has said something very similar before. Do you remember the sort of now iconic Instagram story of him fake smiling, holding his head in a pool, saying,
"Yeah,
smiling through it all"?
I can't believe this is my life.
Yep. That was the 2018 season when he was again allowed not to be blamed for losing because, one, they traded his entire team, and two, J.R. Smith ran the wrong direction at the end of a game. LeBron, he's in a great place. He's going to score 30 a game, win a scoring title, and chill. And no one will be mad at him.
Except for Laker fans. Harry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron, again, as long as he's getting all the good attention and all the bad is directed elsewhere, he's happy. He's good. And I think also he's just accepted the fact it's not happening
there it
for
is.
Him this year. There it is.
Yeah, you're right. There it is. LeBron, that's one of the premier thirst trap thought shots, by the way, in terms of poses, go-to poses.
Does he have a glass of wine in that one? I think it's a glass of wine. It's also like, How many takes did that take on his camera? It's like, oh, no, no. It's like, oh, this is working.
Oh, yeah.
How, what if I do, like, what if I act like I'm, like, a supermodel getting out of the pool, putting the water?
He is a supermodel getting out of the pool. He's LeBron James. That's the whole point. It's unbelievable.
You know why he's got the hand on the head like that? We all know why he's got the hand on the head like that.
Yep.
See, we know why he got the hand on the head like that. Come on,
I'm not partaking in that. I'm not partaking in that.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to hate because it comes for us all at some point or another.
I'm not going to. Knock on wood. No comment on that. Just because we don't hang around somebody with the crispiest lineup in the game every single day doesn't mean that I'm going to take shots at other people, Jacoby. Shouts to Jalen.
Okay.
What's next, Alabaster?
All right, guys, we're going to do a couple rounds of if then. This is a game where I'm going to give you guys a statement. You guys finish it. All right.
Oh, wow. We've got the wobble.
First one. If the Bulls drop to 0-16 this season against the top three seeds in both conferences, then blank.
David?
Insignificant. Here's the thing. Happiness is a function of realistic expectations. It's really a function of realistic expectations. The Bulls are so much ahead of the expectations of their team and their fan base and their franchise going into this. This season was a win at the All-Star break. They can lose in the first round, no big deal. They made a big play to get Vucevic in there. They made a bigger play to get DeRozan in there. They got AC in there. They got Ball in there. They can also say, oh, we weren't healthy. Ah, we weren't healthy. You know what? That's why we weren't healthy. Come back next year. We'll be great. Like, there is nothing that can happen to this team that will be a disappointment in the eyes of their fans, the NBA fans as a whole, or their franchise. So I feel like they're playing with house money at this point. So go ahead and get swept in the first round. They can point to injuries and just still come run it back next year.
Yeah, 100%. And the point there, too, to me, is that, like, they've shown progression, right? Like, last year they were fun. This year they're even more fun. DeMar DeRozan has had a stretch where he looked like the league MVP, right? I think if you told Bulls fans, hey, this is what it's going to be, and you tell them, hey, your team is not going to be able to beat the top teams in your conference, I don't think they care because they've really been fun to watch. Like, and they're going in the right direction. They've had some really, really frustrating years the past 10, 15, 20 years at that franchise, not to mention the heartbreak of just Derrick Rose not working out. So if you told them, hey, this is what it's going to be, I think they would take it every single time.
100%. And if you look at other teams that are free-falling, I don't know, the Hornets, who play zero defense, you know what I'm saying? Ask yourself which team you'd rather have, perhaps, going forward. I don't necessarily know that it's a clear-cut answer that's the Bulls, but I think a lot of people would say that. This is one of these stats, listeners, to let you know that our producer is a hardcore, insane NBA fan, because that stat,
that's fake.
Not exactly good up against the East. I don't know
that's
that anybody
fake.
In Chicago
that's a fake
actually
stat.
Cares about that.
They're missing. The only question we had about this team going in was defense. And Lonzo Ball, underrated, great on-ball defender. Alex Caruso, not underrated, but great on-ball defender. During
awesome.
Those 25
yeah.
days, they didn't have Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso. And a lot of their defense was predicated on that perimeter defense because they don't have the rim protection because we all know that Vucevic can barely jump over a telephone book, Harry. It's a book that we used to have. It was yellow and it had all the telephone numbers in it. It's about this thick. Yeah. I'll send you a link. You telling me people just didn't have
phones the whole time with everybody's contact?
No. You had to go through paper that could rip at the slightest touch.
And all services, all companies for all services, like laundromats, plumbers, carpenters, they all started with like A's. So it's all like, errands, carpentry. So you'll be first when you pull up that section. That's the
man, next
thing.
You're going to tell me people had something that's like a home phone. Like,
yeah. A land line. By the way, Caruso was leading the league in steals coming off the bench for that team.
Ooh.
The Bulls are just fine. Moving right
LeBron misses him, don't you think?
Correcto! L.A. misses him more than LeBron does. That's
yes, correct.
All right, moving on. More hoops here. Steve Nash said that Ben Simmons has a herniated disc in his back. And our question is, if Ben Simmons doesn't come back this season, then blank.
I'll say then big deal. I mean, I don't think anybody necessarily looked at this Ben Simmons situation as a right now has to happen circumstance. I think that overall, we all have a better understanding of what it is he's trying to figure out. If there's an injury, then you add on to that. I don't know that Nets fans that I interact with or know of are thinking, oh, man, we really got built, because this was always to me a long-term project just based on previous history, Harry.
Yeah, and I think, too, the thing with Ben Simmons that people have to remember, this isn't his first rodeo with this kind of injury, and he's not a normal-sized human. So, like, you average person sitting at home, like, Your back injury is not a Ben Simmons back injury. He's 6'11", 260 pounds. Like, that's a different kind of pressure, and that's a different kind of injury on that back. If you're a Nets fan and he doesn't come back, I think that you would prefer that if it means that he's going to take the time to get that injury correct. And I think that your example that you go back to is Kevin Durant and the time that he took to get his Achilles injury correct, and then he comes back looking just as good, if not better, than he ever did during his career. So is that unfortunate? Yes. I think that your nearest hope is that Kyrie is able to come back and play home games. I think that's your next kind of like, okay, but can we get this thing? But if he doesn't come back and play this season, I think that you just kind of like shrug your shoulders, hope for the best during the postseason, and hope that he is able to come back not just mentally but physically better than what he was when he left Philadelphia.
It's Nets franchise, as someone who watches them closely, it's always been a just wait. Like, we got KD and Kyrie. Just wait until KD comes back. KD comes back. It's like, just wait until they're both healthy. We're going to trade everybody away. We got James Harden, but just wait until all three of them are healthy together. They play like 12 games together. It's like, just wait until the vaccine mandates change. James Harden's mad. Just wait. Guys, just wait until we put Ben Simmons in here. He's the real piece that we need. That's the macro picture of this franchise. But like on the micro level, like what's going to help him get his back better? Rest, right? What's he been doing since like last June? He's been resting. The back was an issue like in training camp. Like my guy, like you've had October to now is what, 6 months approximately? Like you've got 6 months of rest. And then apparently he started moving around. He was practicing and stuff and he like re-aggravated it. I would be very concerned. I'm not a doctor, but like I'd be very concerned on the fact that he didn't play for 5 or 6 months and then sort of slowly got some work in and that caused a setback. So for me, if I'm in the Nets franchise that's invested a lot of capital, i.e. James Harden, in Ben Simmons, just like Joe Harris, I would say, guys, get right for next October, because the last thing I want to do is force Ben Simmons in some like 2-7 series to like play some minutes that reactivates the thing so he's not available next year. So they're probably best not playing it.
Totally agree. What's next?
All right, guys, last topic. This one, we'll see how this one goes. But
great pitch.
Well, I have a feeling that you guys aren't going to take this one that seriously.
Timeout. Clinton, what do you have to say? I have some thoughts, too.
Sidebar discussion. Why are we still letting teams that are that far out from the other teams still be in the play-in? Like, if you're below 500 or more than four games out, I know that was a bubble rule. That's a rule that should apply
There's
no reason for them to be even involved wasting their time.
The Lakers are a solid, like, 5-game. You know the Lakers and the Knicks have, like, the same record? Like the New York Knicks.
So
we have not
Wizards
said
forever.
The word Knicks on this show or any show at ESPN unless they lose to a more important team for months. And we treat them like they don't exist. But the Lakers lead every single show, even though they're 5 games below 500. Clint, not only should that apply to the playoffs, that should apply to sports media coverage as well. There should be a bar that you have to get over. Like if you're
Hold on, Jacoby.
Oh, here we go.
Jacoby.
Jacoby. You, Alabaster.
No, this is a shot at you. This is the man who sat here over the last 2 weeks and was shaking in his boots about the terrifying Lakers. Oh, if old man LeBron and Creaky Davis can just get healthy, they'll figure it out. Who wants
Alabaster.
To play them in the first round?
Alabaster, you know me well enough to know that you can expect hypocrisy, inconsistency, and I have no shame. So that type of criticism, I don't even hear it. It doesn't hurt me. And you're right.
That's good.
You're absolutely right.
I have no response to that. Yep.
What's the last example?
Kenny Pickett has been stretching his hands, and his hand stretching exercises have made his hands grow from 8.5 to 8 5/8 inches, which are still the smallest hands in the NFL. Our question is, or our statement is, if Kenny Pickett's hands are 1/8 inch bigger than they were a few weeks ago, then blank.
Then they're still really small.
Whatever you're about to do, don't do it.
Have you seen how big his hands are, though? Harry actually
both
has
both things
huge
can be
hands.
True, though. Look, that he has baby hands and that he still threw for 43 touchdowns last year. Like, both things can be true, right? Yes. Like, he's always worn the glove. If it's working, if he's throwing touchdown passes, if he goes out next year, right, rookie year, and throws 30 touchdown passes, like, does it matter?
No. If you were like
focused on the wrong thing, the turnovers.
But it is hilarious,
issue.
Bro.
Whether or not they're related to his, whether or not it's related to his hands, the turnovers are a problem. You have to believe they're related to hand size. Here's my issue, Jacoby. This is he's taking himself way too seriously on this. You need to be out there on TikTok doing your hand things, making it funny because, hello, your name is Pickett anyway, and nobody really cares and understands how ridiculous this is. I need more comedy with this from my man. I don't need this to be dead serious inches and measurements. Like, come on, they're your hands. You're a football player. Have some fun.
This is brilliant, Clinton, and I don't like giving out compliments. What he needs to do is own this. He needs to put a Photoshop out every day. TikToks of him trying to like grab a candy bar, but he can't hold it.
Yeah,
like, you know, like getting a mini football throw, just trying to throw a mini football that's just falling out of his hands. Like, he needs to really lean into this and own it because it's silly. It's stupid. If you were to, like, if you're an NBA scout and you're like Muggsy Bogues, guy short, you know, it's like, oh hey, Nate Robinson,
yes,
he can't play. You know, the Spud Webb, you think he's going to be successful? Look at Stephen Curry. Look at this little wee man. You think that little wee man's going to be effective in the NBA? Like, guess what? Who cares if his hands are small? Can he play football? I don't watch a lot of Pitt football, okay? Well, here's what I haven't seen. Any discussion about any of his abilities, throwing the football, managing a football game, winning football games, anytime that Kenny Pickett's name comes up, the noun hands is associated in the same sentence, like, 75% of the time. And he, like, and Clinton, I cannot agree with you more. He really needs to lean into this. Hire somebody in the social media team.
Yes.
And then just have every day a joke about his tiny hands. He should even, like, put those tiny hands things. He should, like, Alabaster. He should be on Debatable next week just saying, like, I heard they have someone with smaller hands than me here. Let's rock.
Book it. Alabaster,
make it happen.
You have your marching orders. That has to happen. Just like a fake doll of him,
he should do his interviews as like a Oompa Loompa. Like, he should just really lean into this.
Yeah, 100%. He should get like a bigger sized golf ball and just be like, yo, I can't even palm like a golf ball and just like make a joke out of it. Like, why not?
Just because again, dunk attempts where the ball just falls out of his hand, even though he's got LeBron ups.
Right.
100%. And again, it could be true that your hands are, at least for an NFL player, hilariously small, and you could probably still play ball. Like, so just lean into it. Why not?
Sure. Stretches work. What do you think the stretches are?
But Clinton, like, to back up your point, this is the wrong approach. I'm working on it, guys.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm doing everything I can to get better. Like, you know what? I don't watch any film. I'm not throwing to elite receivers. Here I am. I don't even work out. I don't even jog. I'm just here, just stretching my hands. Like, he's taking this way too seriously. Don't fight back against this wave of criticism. Surf it.
And if you find yourself discussing inches and eighths of inches,
that's the other funny part.
This is not where we want to be.
We're getting through this, bro. We're getting through this. We're getting through this. I promise you, we can do it. We have strength. We have discipline. We can get through this topic, Clinton. I know we can, bro. I know we can.
Hit the countdown. I'll say this. If Kenny Pickett's hands are an eighth of an inch bigger than they were a few weeks ago, then he's having a great week. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I don't know what that means. I'm proud of myself for not knowing what that means. This is
my Matt Ryan's replacement.
When I was criticizing the lyrics to Watermelon Sugar High, and Izzy sort of gave me an education on exactly what that meant. And I was like, oh, I'll never discuss that again. And here I am discussing that again. God.
See y'all later. We got through the whole thing. We didn't even talk about rap music.
That's Harry Styles reference with Harry Lyles. Come on.
That's good. Styles, Lyles, Wilds. All right, goodbye. I'll see y'all later. I got to go do this other TV show. So that'll be fun, too. See you later.
Happy birthday, Clint Yates.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Clinton.
It's your birthday?